Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. God's word is alive. God's word is living and active. The pastor used to say, God's word is a living thing. Hallelujah. God's word is living. Glory to God. God's word is living. You know, there are folks who say that the written word is powerless, but the living word, or the spoken word rather, is powerful. That's quite funny, because the reason why the spoken word is powerful is because the written word is powerful. Praise God. Some have said there's the Logos and there's the Rhema. So the Logos is powerless. The Rhema is powerful. Until you speak it, it has no power. It's not true. What is written is the Logos, and it has power. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, but the Logos of God is powerful. Hallelujah. Have you seen? Elsewhere, the written word, that which has been said and written, is also described as Rhema. Praise God. Hallelujah. In fact, elsewhere, that which is spoken is also referred to as Logos. Glory to God. So, you see, there's no point making a distinction between these things, because both actually mean the same thing. It could be Logos for the written word. It could be Rhema. You could use them interchangeably. So, there's no such thing as God's word is powerless until you speak it, and all such funny things that people say. God's word is powerful, whether it's written or spoken, whether it's read or heard. God's word is powerful all the same. Glory to God. Now, I'll quote you 1 Peter chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. 1 Peter and chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 25. Hallelujah. Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the flower of the grass, glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word, hallelujah, the word that abides forever. In this place, it's not referring to the spoken word. That is the word that lives forever without it being preached. The word, the written word, hallelujah, the person of the word. Whereas the word, translated word here in the Greek, is the word Rhema. Praise God, Rhema. So it's totally out of place to say that the written word is powerless, the spoken word is powerful, and you know, all sorts of things. And what a lot of people even refer to as Rhema today, Rhema today is some powerful words on the marble by their pastors. The pastor says something that tickles their fancy, something that appeals to their lust, something that, in quotes, applies to their present predicament. And then the person says, yeah, I caught it. That's my Rhema. Hallelujah. But that's not the way those words were used in the Bible. Hallelujah. So you find believers who go to church and they are waiting all through the service, hoping for a time when the pastor will say something that is their own Rhema. So they are not feeling concerned about the explanations of scriptures. They are not feeling concerned about, you know, men walking through scriptures and we are trying to see the meaning of your word. They are not concerned with all those things. The diligence that we give to God's word is something that puts them off. Until you say something, maybe the person is trying to pay some school fees or rent or trying to get a job. You say something that pertains to that particular issue. And then the person says, yes, now God is speaking to me. That's an irresponsible attitude towards the word of God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, Bible says, all scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What God has sent to you is all scriptures. Hallelujah. All scriptures, not some scriptures, not some word for the now, all scriptures. And that is what is able to mature you and make you equipped for every good work. If you have been walking towards the word in this manner, in the which you are selective, in the which you cherry pick instructions, you cherry pick Bible verses, you cherry pick sermons, you cherry pick parts of the sermons, and you say many of the things do not apply to you, that might explain the reason why, that might be an explanation of the reason why you are so lopsided in your walk as a Christian. Look at your life. Your life is not changing much. Look at your life. There's so much you need to, there's so much you are not enjoying and experiencing because you are actually cherry picking the word of God. You are like a child that is cherry picking food. Praise God. You know, some children are raised on some very unhealthy feeding habit where the person cannot eat any other thing. It's just carbohydrate, carbohydrate, carbohydrate. You are not growing healthy. Some folks detest everything that is protein, something that is beneficial to your body, advantageous to your body. You despise them. You just want rice. Yeah. See, if you go for checkup, you discover that you are not growing healthily. Praise God. And that's the case of the Christian who also cherry picks Bible instructions, doctrine and admonition, and then he has a favorite part of every sermon, especially sound doctrine. He has a favorite part of sound doctrine. Such a believer is not going to grow as he ought to grow. The only thing that bets growth and bets consistency and bets the kind of progress that God ordains is yielding yourself to wholesome teaching, sound doctrine, the whole counsel of God, not rejecting any. You see, let me advise you. You could be in a church meeting and then the pastor is preaching and it feels like what he's saying does not concern you. Pay attention. Very soon you'll find out that it actually concerns you. Very soon. You will soon find out that what is being said is soon going to concern you. Glory to God. So open your heart to receive of the word of God. Okay, so you're welcome to another episode. I don't know why I had to say that, but I've learned to always yield to the Holy Ghost when I have a direction to say certain things that seem to be off course or that seem to be diversions from the major thing we are meant to look into. So receive that and run with it. So you are welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 115. Hallelujah. And we've been teaching and studying what to do if and when I sin as a Christian. What should I do if and when I sin as a Christian? And then yesterday I was able to show you that one of the things that the believer must do continuously is this idea of repenting. Praise God. I was also able to prove from the scriptures. The Bible says all scripture is given and is profitable for teaching, for instruction, for correction, for reproof. That's the word evidence. I was able to prove from the Bible, from the scriptures, that repentance is the beginning of our walk. Repentance is the beginning of our walk as Christians. It is not something that would come much later in your life. It is not something reserved for those who are, you know, badly addicted to things and are struggling to get out of it. It is something we start out with. Praise God. The moment you believe the gospel, the moment you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the moment you receive Jesus into your heart, you receive the gospel and you are born again, you are instructed, scripturally now, you are instructed to turn away from your ways, from your old ways. Hallelujah. So it's the starting point. It is not strange. It's not some instruction given to some specific Christians who are missing it largely in their walk. It is given to every believer in Christ Jesus. We start out repenting. Hallelujah. And I made a distinction between repentance for the sinner and repentance for the believer. Repentance for the sinner is turning away from unbelief to faith. The believer is already in the faith. So much the Bible refers to us, the church, as the household of faith. We are the household of faith. So we are in the faith of God. Hallelujah. We are already in the faith. We are called believers because we have faith. So we are not turning away from unbelief to faith. What are we turning away from? We are turning away from the ways of the world, which we learned before we were born again. Hallelujah. Turning away from the ways of the world, which we learned before we got born again. Romans 12 Verse 2, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't continue to live and act out the things of the world, the influence of the world, which you have received before you met Jesus. It is time to renew your mind. Why is renewal of mind the right thing to do? Because your mind was not saved. Hallelujah. Your mind did not get born again. Your mind did not change the moment you met Jesus. You remember many of the things that were running through your mind just the previous night. You remember certain people you fought, certain people you are beefing and keeping malice, you know, against and grudging. You remember the people that you've sworn in your life to never have anything to do with them again. You remember the people that, I mean, if your mind was cancelled or erased, rather, if your mind was erased or formatted and you were brainwashed at the point when you met Jesus, and then there's a new mind automatically, then you won't even remember those who are owing you money. Praise God. I know that got your attention. You will remember those that were owing you money and all that. But the reason why you can still remember those who were owing you money, and when they come to you and they want to pay, you won't be saying, what are you doing? And then the person says, I want to pay you back. He says, pay me back. Oh, I can't remember. I'm a new creature. You remember many things. You remember stuff. Hallelujah. You remember virtually everything. You remember those who have wronged you, those who have done well to you. You remember those you have wronged. You remember many things. Your mind does not change. Your spirit has come alive to God, but your mind is the same. So there's a need for renewing the mind. And this process of renewing the mind is the process of repentance, in the which we begin to change the way we think, we change our thoughts, we change our mindsets, our disposition, and then that affect our attitudes and our conduct. Glory to God. You see, the mind is the seat of emotion, is the seat of emotion, your will, your feelings, intellect. So the moment your mind is transformed, your feelings will change. Hallelujah. You know, many times people say, feeling is not spiritual, it's not spirituality. I agree, actually. The truth is, we are not to be moved by feelings. I mean, if I'm to be moved by feelings, I may not be recording on some of the days I come around to record and all that. If I had to be moved by feelings, sometimes when I wanted to go to church and my body was saying no, if I want to walk by feelings, I won't get to church. Hallelujah. Sometimes I know I'm meant to pray, and then some way, somehow, my body is not cooperating. Maybe I'm tired from the previous day, the work the previous day, and then my body doesn't want to get up, but then I don't follow feelings, I just start praying. So I agree that we don't follow feelings. We don't judge spirituality by feelings. We also don't judge the truth of the word of God by feelings. I may be feeling contrary to the nature I have in Christ Jesus, but I must yet affirm that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I may be feeling unforgiving. You know, there are believers who feel that they've wronged God so much, they cannot be forgiven. Oh God. You know, sometimes we overrate ourselves. Amen. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. What is yours? What is your sin? It's like it's even less than a drop in a bucket or in an ocean. Your sins are inconsequential compared to the price that was paid. But so there are folks who feel that they've done quite so much that, see, God cannot forgive this one and all that. So you may be feeling unforgiving, but then you must still affirm the truth of the word of God, that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So we don't judge and make progress in the faith by feelings. We don't judge spirituality by feelings. We don't judge the word of God by feelings, our identity in Christ by feelings. However, that does not mean that God neglects our feelings in the process of spiritual maturity. It doesn't. God renews the way you feel. So God doesn't neglect our feelings, he renews our feelings. Praise God. You see, in the renewal of the mind is the renewal of your feeling, the renewal of your feelings, renewal of your strength, renewal of your conduct and character, renewal of your mindset. Praise God. Everything that is in the mind is renewed. Everything that flows from the mind, from the heart of man, is renewed in that process. Praise God. I mean, you can bear me witness. There were times you felt differently from, the truth of the word of God. You felt, contrary to what you've come to believe. And then you stepped into a church gathering of the saints, and then before you knew it, you were feeling great. Hallelujah. There were times you were feeling down before you left your house. You got to the gathering of the saints, and, in few minutes of singing, lifting up holy hands and praying and, listening to the word of God, your feelings changed. Praise God. Your feelings changed. And then you began to feel differently. Your feelings began to align with the truth that you have in Christ Jesus. You know, there are times you don't feel like you're able to heal the sick. There are other times you feel like you can. Your feelings have caught up. Hallelujah. Your feelings have caught up. They've become aligned to the truth of the word of God. So our feelings are not, bypassed. God does something about them. Glory to God. So, all this form a part and parcel of repenting. In the renewing of the mind, God changes our mind, changes our emotions, changes our feelings, our thoughts, changes our everything that is in the mind is affected. And then we're able to walk as we ought to, as Christians. Glory to God. So again, let me restate that repentance of the believer is turning away from the ways of the world. The ways of the world, the culture of the world you have embraced before you met Jesus Christ. The influence of the world, the old lifestyle and habits. That's what you have to turn away from and embrace a deliberate and intentional renewing of the mind with the truth of the Word of God. Praise God. Now, I want to start dealing with the issue of being stuck with habits. This is where I want to start talking about. You know, we've said repentance is the beginning of our walk. We start out repenting. But you know, some believers just start struggling from that moment. Hallelujah. Listen, no habit suddenly starts besetting a saint. Most times, they are things that have not been dealt with. That is, the person who had never successfully turned away from those things, found it difficult. So, we would always have to go back to the root problem. Because it's not something that happened much later for most people. Hallelujah. I mean, if you've gained mastery over the flesh, if you've detached yourself from certain habits over a couple of years, it will be very hard for you to get stuck and not know how to get out again. Do you understand? So most times when you are stuck with something and you are struggling, it's a pointer to the fact that you never really dealt with it from the onset. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be pointing out things that you must note, things you must watch out for. If you notice that you are struggling with a particular habit, struggling with a particular influence of the world that you received before you met Jesus, and then it's like a struggle, a burden, you can't let it go, then you need to pay attention to the things I'm going to be sharing right now. Hallelujah. The things I'm going to be sharing right now. You know, we start by seeing how you must establish your heart in righteousness. You must remind yourself and affirm the truth of, you know, about the advocacy of Jesus Christ, the truth concerning what Jesus has done for you, in the which you are able to silence the adversary and the accuser of the brethren. Now, listen, if this is all you are doing and you never get past, you know, those habits, you're always beset, you're always stuck with them, and then you don't know what to do, but you keep reaffirming the truth about who you are in Christ Jesus, of course, you'll be free from guilt. However, you are not making progress. You are not growing. Praise God. You are not growing. So you all your life, you just keep saying, you are this, and you are right. But you never get to walk. Imagine yourself as a baby that never gets to walk. Hallelujah. There's more to be explored. Amen. There's more to be explored. In fact, the reason for knowing your identity is so you can know how to conduct yourself. Your identity must lead to conducting yourself in the light of who God has made you. So it has to get, you know, past just knowing your identity to living out your identity. Hallelujah. So if you are stuck with these things and you don't know what to do, listen carefully. The first thing to do that you must check and be on the lookout for is your association. Hallelujah. You know that most times people trivialize the place of association, friendship in the world and all that. However, it is a major reason why a lot of believers are not detached from their old ways. Praise God. You know, if the Bible says, do not be conformed to the world, that shows you that you ought not to open yourself to the influence of the world anymore. Now, you find believers who come for church meetings and go right from church meeting into the midst of their friends where they talk all kinds of funny things. They talk raw and explicit. And then the person says he's battling immoral thoughts. No, if you don't battle immoral thoughts, who should? Hallelujah. Who should be battling immoral thoughts if it's not you? Hallelujah. You can't grow in the midst of tongues. You must look at your association. Praise God. That's the first thing to do. An assessment of your relationships. An assessment of your relationships. The people you surround yourself with. What are the things they speak into your heart, consciously and unconsciously? What are the things they speak into your consciousness? Every day, every time you meet with them, what are the things they speak into your consciousness? Listen, I choose my influences carefully. Hallelujah. Because I know that the influence of the world is not something that is abstract. Praise God. It's not abstract. It's in a place. It's in a place. Apart from the general, you know, atmosphere and condition everywhere around you in the neighborhood, community, wherever you go. See, there's a strategic way the enemy really now influences people. There's a strategy. Praise God. You know, because you can't open your heart or your mind to everything that goes on in your environment. You are deliberate about guarding your heart. But the moment you submit to a relationship, an association, a gathering of people, you have given them the right to influence you. I'll say that again. The moment you submit to any relationship, communication, any gathering of people, you have given them the right to influence your mind. Praise God. They will influence your mind. So, it is very critical. The first thing you must do is to walk away, is to detach yourself, as it were, from old associations. Because that's where the real influence is. In other words, those were the guys you were doing life together with. Those were the guys you were rolling together with, you know, to those places that you used to go, the things you were doing. You were doing all those things together. You conducted yourselves in lust together. You lived the old life together. Hallelujah. So imagine this. You want to detach from that old way of living, but you are still in the midst of people that, you know, you both shared in that life. It's impossible. They are going to mislead you. They are going to influence you in the direction that, you know, they are still in the life they are still in, the direction and the course in which you once walked. Hallelujah. That's all they can offer you. And there's no point having or developing a messianic complex of saying you want to save all your friends when you know that you are not strong enough to even help them. Hallelujah. So you must detach yourself away from the influence of the world. Glory to God. Let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 4, the influence of the world. You must not let down your guard. You must not be very funny. You must not be unwise. You say that I can help it. I understand. I know how I do my thing. No, you don't. Your mind is so fickle. It can accommodate anything. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Look at verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. In doing the will of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. That is the will of men that we lived with. Men that we rode with, we complained with. Listen. It now says, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. These are not things you were doing alone. You had a company, a relationship, an association was built around it. And that's the first place to detach yourself from. Praise God. Verse 4. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So you see that Apostle Peter is saying that they consider it strange that you are no longer flowing with them in those things. That is the wise Christian. Your association first. Hallelujah. Don't go to places where temptations are always on the table. Temptations are always around you. Bible says to flee from every appearance of evil. You must flee from the influence of the world. You must detach yourself from worldly associations and relationships. Because that is where you would keep struggling to live the life you've been called to, and you will never get to live it. You never get to experience the victory that Jesus has won for you because you are in the midst of thorns. Hallelujah. You are in the midst of thorns. You are in a place where nothing will grow. Hallelujah. Nothing will grow. So, the first check is to, you know, review your associations. Who are the people influencing you? Hallelujah. Who are the people influencing you? For every sound believer out there, there's a sound relationship around him. I'll repeat myself. For every sound believer out there, today, there's a sound relationship, a community, a gathering of people, an influence that he has surrounded himself with. Hallelujah. Those are people who find it, you know, they find it difficult to keep thinking the way they used to think. Because in that relationship and community, there's mutual edification. People are spurring themselves up onto good works. The kind of conversations that happen in those relationships are edifying. Praise God. In such relationships, you are not battling temptation every now and then. You see, with some relationships, some friends, you don't need any devil to come knock on the door of your heart. They would help you. Praise God. Negatively now, they are going to minister to you all the things you are running away from. Hallelujah. They are ministers of temptations. Everything they say is just awkward. I mean, you don't need that kind of relationship. You'll never grow or thrive in the faith if you don't detach yourself from worldly associations and influences. Praise God. And you see, you need to be very firm in making such decisions. Don't allow sentiment ruin you. Don't say, you know, we've been together since childhood. We went to the same primary school, secondary school, university. Do you want to die together too? Praise God. Don't allow sentiments. All those things, they are unnecessary. You used to do life together, but Jesus has called you out of that life. He has given you a new life. You have a new identity, a new place, a new relationship, a new family. So get away from that which, you know, is not of God, and open yourself to new relationships. Hallelujah. That's the problem. Most people cannot change their associations because they are unwilling to even form new ones. As a believer, you know, you've been called into a new family, and you must open your heart to a new, you know, to that new family, to picking up new relationships, new friendship that would influence you in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the way of the Lord. That would influence you in the way of the Lord. So many times people just say, you know, I've been struggling. And they're just struggling to repent and struggling to quit their old ways and all that. They're not making assessments of their work, of their lives. They're not looking into their lives to see areas where they are giving the enemy, the adversary, they are giving him an advantage. Praise God. If you allow unbelievers influence you in this world, you allow them speak into your heart regularly, you know, and then they influence you negatively. Their talks, their words are immoral. They always influence you negatively. That's, you've given room to the devil already. Praise God. Like some would say jokingly, and there's an element of truth in it, that if you marry an unbeliever, the devil is your father-in-law. Do you understand? The devil is your father-in-law. In the same house where, you know, you are praying in tongues, you are believing God, you are feeding on the word of God, you want to win souls, the other person is just there, mocking and laughing, and, you know, he's not concerned. Praise God. The enemy is going to use such a person to frustrate you. The person will scorn you. Hallelujah. Imagine a believer marrying an atheist. How do you want to survive? So these are kind of relationships that eventually you discover that it's not healthy for you to be in close relationship with those kind of people. It's impossible. It's impossible to make progress as you ought to if you open yourself to these kind of influences. So you must be able to make assessments. And this is the first one. Your friendship, your association, your circle of friends. Check out these people. Hallelujah. Sit down and really think about it. Are these guys really influencing me for Jesus? Or are these guys taking away from me that which, you know, the seed of the word that is being sown in my heart every time I have an opportunity to be in the right gatherings? You go to church, you are blessed, you are fired up. Before you come back to church, you've been, you know, deflated. They've quenched the fire. Woo, your friends. You must sit down and really be very, very sincere and honest with yourself. These influences, these associations, these my friends, these people I call my friends, what are they really doing to my life spiritually? Are they helping me grow? Are they edifying me? Or are they damaging and ruining my mind? You need to be sincere with yourself. And you see, the moment you get the answer, you know what to do. Hallelujah. The moment you find out that these guys are not helping you, they can even be church people. I'm not talking about just unbelievers. They can be attending church. I'm not just talking about people who are outside church. They can be attending your church with you. But you know that their conversation, their lifestyle, the things they say regularly around you do not help you. They don't contribute in any way to your spiritual growth. Those are the kind of people you must detach yourself from. And listen, some of them are not even unbelievers. They are Christians. Praise God. Christians who are yet babies. Christians who are still immature. Christians who are still carnal also and are doing nothing to deal with it. Christians who themselves are still entangled in the world, in worldly influences, worldly associations. Such men cannot influence you rightly also. Glory to God. So you must do a check. Check your associations, your friendship. That's the beginning. Hallelujah. You notice that the early church, the moment people were saved, they were added to the church. Added to the church. Both spiritually and literally, physically. Hallelujah. I mean, people changed their relationships. They formed new families. Praise God. Because that is exactly how you are going to be influenced the most. When you detach yourself from your friends and associations in the world from which Jesus has called you, and then you embrace the new family that you have in Christ Jesus. That's the place of godly influence. Praise God. That is the place of godly influence. I'm going to close with the words of the psalmist. I like this psalm so much. Psalm 1 from verse 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Have you seen that before paying attention to God's word, there was a detachment from a particular circle of people, a particular association? It does not stand in the way of sinners. It does not sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You can't be sitting in the seat of the scornful and at the same time esteem and regard the word of God. It's impossible. Hallelujah. So there's a need to detach from worldly influences and stay with the right influences as you focus on the word of God and prayers. Hallelujah. Godly influences fan to flames the truth that you are learning. They fan to flames the instructions you receive. They fan to flames your commitment. Wrong influences and worldly influences are there to quench the fire of the Spirit. They are there to quench every fire you are trying to gather. Glory to God. So you must be wise about this. Be firm. It is not something to do out of sentiment. You must do it in obedience to the word of God. And you see, it will make a whole lot of difference in your life from today. Glory be to God. And today happens to be my birthday. I have a gift loading for you today. Just check my wall, Adebo Ali Bukuntosin. Check my wall later in the day to download that gift. And then say a word of prayer for me also. Keep me in your prayers. I believe God for many more years, many more decades of staying committed to the cause of the gospel. Glory to God. So we'll continue from here tomorrow. Don't forget to tune in. Invite your friends, relatives, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and full of faith, full of power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.